That song is a good illustration of the prayer of our hearts, that God's word would not just be something we know, not just be something we learn more about every Sunday, but something we allow to shape our lives, allow to change how we live in such a way that we would conform to what the word of God teaches. If you were asked the question, what is the most important thing, what would your answer be? I think we could come with a number of different answers, what the most important things in life are. Here is what someone wrote: the things they learned in kindergarten are the most important things. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people, unless it's on the football field. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. I hope my children are listening. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Put the seat back up for the men in your home. He wrote it. I'm just reading. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life, learn some and draw some and paint some and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup, the roots go down, the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we're all like that. Goldfish and hamster and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die and so do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. I think from a perspective that does not include God's word as the foundation, that's a pretty good list. I know when I have the privilege of taking part in funerals as we discuss the life of the one who has died, often the priorities of that person come out. And I think every funeral I've ever been to is a reminder of how we should live in light of the things that really matter. And so often you will hear they spent time with their family, they sacrificially loved one another, they did well in life, they worked hard and loved well. I mean, there's so many things that we could say and we could learn, and many would be extremely valuable. But what we want to do this morning is turn to the Word of God and ask God if there are places in His Word, and there are a number, where He says something like, above all, do this. Something like, as a priority, if you forget everything else, if you forget everything you learned in kindergarten, if you forget everything you've learned other places at school and even at church, if you could just remember one exclusive thing, if you could say, above everything else, listen carefully to this, the Bible actually has an answer. And there are again about 10 places in the Bible where these words are used or words like them. And this morning, if you have your Bibles here with you, and I hope that you do, if you could turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, where we find these words in verse 23. In our series in Proverbs, what we have said is in the first 9 chapters, it is extremely important that you understand what is going on in context. And then for the rest of the book, the context of Proverbs really serves as the context of each individual proverb. But in Proverbs 4, the context is extremely important, and so we'll pick it up in verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. He's saying here in context, let the word of God be something that you never let out of your sight. Meditate on them, love them, allow them to be a part of who you are. Why? Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. And in other words, God's word is good. And so often in our culture, we hear people that say, well, God's word restricts. And in actual fact, as we study the Bible, what we discover is God's word does not restrict. It actually frees us to be who God wants us to be, so that when we obey what the word teaches, we're actually finding life. We're actually finding something amazing there. Life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. And then here's verse 23, which we're going to settle on for the rest of the message. Keep your heart with all vigilance, or some translations correctly would say, above all else, guard your heart. Above all, guard what you should guard. Guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. And then again, in context, and this will remind us of what Jesus says later a number of times, put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward. Then your gaze be straight before you. In other words, notice what God wants you to notice. Again, this is about applying the word of God to everyday life. Make sure the path of your feet is pondered. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So the context of verse 23, know the word of God. The context of verse 23, as you go beyond it, make sure the word of God drives how you speak. Make sure the word of God drives how you live. Let it set the markers for your path. And then the heart of this passage are these precious words in the NIV, above all else, and the ESV, which many of us have this idea of, with vigilance, with all of our might, with this passion, let us be those who guard our hearts. This morning is a very simple message. In fact, the text is very simple. And yet so often we don't obey the Bible in its simplicity. And so this morning, my passion is that we would see from this one verse the priority that God has for our lives, the precept or the command that He gives in this verse, and then the purpose of this command. And then my longing would be, and really we'll spend a significant amount of time on this, that we would be a people who not only hear what the Bible teaches, but then say, I want to be someone who applies this. If this is so important to God that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He would use words like, above all else, then I want to hear this and I want to adjust my life now accordingly. You are becoming who you will be. The priorities you set now are the person you will become. And so this morning, God has a word for every person that is in this room. God has a word for every person that will listen to this verse, this message beyond what goes on in this room. And again, very simple, but life-changing if we'll hear this proverb and apply it to our lives. So let's start with the priority. Again, very simple. Let's just read verse 23 and we'll just kind of walk through it. Keep your heart with all vigilance, or above all, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Above all, or with all vigilance, or guard your heart, literally in the Hebrew, guard your heart above all guarding. So I think the NIV gets the concept here very well. If you're going to choose what to do with your life, make this the foundation. Make this the big rock that you start with so that you can get other things around this big rock. Make this the foundation, the bottom line in your life. What it's saying is this, in terms of priority, the condition of our hearts is more important than anything else. And when you start to think about what those anything else things are, it means the condition of our heart is more important than our family. Really? The condition of our heart is more important than attending church or not. Really? I mean, in this, as we understand it, I want us to see the passion with which the Holy Spirit would like us to hear this. If our heart is right, if we're guarding our heart, then everything else, and we'll get to this as we see the outflow of this verse, everything else will flow from this in a way that honors and glorifies God. Here's the priority of the Word of God for our lives this morning. Again, there's about 10 of these in the Bible. In fact, if you're doing a Bible read, I suggest you highlight these and write them in the back of your Bible and then memorize them. Because when God tells us something is this important, if we don't listen, it's a sign that we're not His people. Above all, listen carefully, listen well. As a priority, do this. And And by the way, our priorities show more in our lives than in what we say. One of my dreams someday is to go to the Super Bowl and to see teams play for the Super Bowl. I just would love to do that. There's a woman who was seated at the Super Bowl, and beside her was an empty seat. And if you know the Super Bowl well, there are no empty seats in the Super Bowl. And about the middle of the first quarter, the person that was sitting next to the empty seat turned to this woman and said, "Why is there an empty seat? Who didn't come?" And the woman responded, "Well, it was my husband's seats, and he passed away." The person kind of gasped in shock and realized they were stepping into an area they didn't want to step into, and tried to find a way out and said, "Well, isn't there someone else in your family that would want to come to the Super Bowl? I mean, this is super important." And the woman responded, "Well, I offered it to all of them, but they thought the funeral was more important." I like that woman. But she has the wrong priorities, and so do most of us. What is the Bible teaching? This, the priority of the Word of God is, for this morning, I want you to hear this exclusively and clearly. Above all else, guard with all guarding, keep with all vigilance. Above all, keep your heart. So again, very simple. You want to know what should drive and define your life? Here it is, guard your heart. Well, let's see what that actually is. I'll just call it the precept. So we've seen the priority to God. Next, and by the way, the priority to all of God's people should be the same priorities that God has. Here's the priority for us in this room if we're followers of God. Guard your heart. Well, that's the precept. A precept is simply a commandment or instruction or order intended to be authoritative. In other words, here's the command of God. Above all commands, here's the command of God in Proverbs 4:23. Here's what we are to do. And again, very simple. Guard your heart. Now, there's two parts of this. One is to guard and the other is your heart. So let's first ask the question, what is your heart? Because for most of us, when we talk about hearts, we mean something like Valentine's Day or something romantic or something we feel. And for the Hebrew, this is way more. They would have understood this word that we've translated heart as the entire inner being. Here's Derek Prime, one of the leading scholars on Proverbs. "The heart is the whole of my inner life." He continues, "This is where I think, plan, turn things over, decide. It is the center of my appetite, my emotions. It is who I am on the inside." Above all else, guard what's going on the inside. Guard what's going on where you live, on the inner part of who you are. Not just emotions, although it will flow out in emotions, but it's the totality of our insides, our emotions, our intellect, our desires, and our will. In fact, what Jesus will say later, and we'll see this again as we go to our next understanding or simple understanding of this text. What Jesus will say later is that if your insides are good, what will flow out is fruit that is good. If your insides are bad, what will flow out is bad. It's the heart of the tree that produces the fruit. And so when we talk about the heart, we're talking about the inner man. We're saying, I guess it doesn't matter what we say. The Bible is saying, and this matters extremely much. The Bible is saying, above all else, with all diligence, with this guarding and guarding above everything else you think about or guard, look at the inside of who you are, measure it by what's flowing out, and take the time to guard it. Well, what does it mean to guard? Waltke says this, it means either to keep a sharp lookout, to keep someone or something in custody, and so restrain it as a prisoner, or to protect from an enemy without. In this case, I think both are important. The heart is under attack. And I think, as I look at the North American Christian movement and so many people choosing to disobey and to live lives of disobedience, so many people who claim to be Christians living like the culture around them, I think the problem is not the outflow of those actions. That's the symptom of the problem. The problem is we are not obeying this command. We are not guarding our hearts with all diligence. So So to guard means to protect. To guard means that you make this a priority. You understand what it means and you say, I will protect my heart regardless of the cost. I will make this a priority over everything else. Because the heart is under attack by the demonic realm. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So as you evaluate your behavior, as you evaluate your emotions, as you evaluate who you are as you live and what you are choosing as your priorities, you're really evaluating your heart. And the Bible is saying, listen, you need to actively do something about your heart. You need to actively protect it. Not let out the good and not let in the evil. We'll talk very practically about what this means, but I want to understand the text first. Here is the priority above all everything else. As an ultimate priority for your life, guard the inner person that you are. Now here's the purpose of it. Priority above all. First, passion. Spend your time first doing this. Precept, guard your heart. Purpose, here's the why. Here's the why. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Above all, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. What does that mean? Okay, God, so you've got a priority for us. We're to protect our inner being, the inner man or the inner woman, the hearts, the core of who we are. And we're to do it because you tell us that from that inner person flows everything else. What is it saying? What's the purpose of this? And the answer is so clear and yet so difficult. This means if you're choosing disobedience, this means if your behavior is dishonoring to Jesus, if you're choosing something that is not found in His Word as your priority or your passion or the joy that you think it will give you, it's because what's going on in the inside is sour and wrong. So here's the priority above all else. Here's the command or the precept, guard your heart. Because how you live will always be an overflow of what's going on in your heart. Pastor Thomas has named our youth ministry Overflow, the overflow. It's who we are from the inside overflowing to display to the outside world the greatness and glory of the gospel and our salvation and who Jesus is. Again, Jesus taught this, I think, based on Proverbs, which he knew well. In fact, inspired through the Spirit, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus is saying the same thing as Proverbs. Who you are on the inside always shows on the outside. By the way, not just in public. This is in private as well. When you're squeezed, what comes out is what's there. Our family loves ketchup, and when we take a ketchup bottle and we squeeze it, what comes out? Ketchup. And if mom has made a very special dinner that's especially spiced up and we squeeze that out, sometimes out of her comes, no ketchup today. What comes out of you? What's flowing out of you? How's that displaying in your life? What's the mark as you look at what's going on out here that shows what's going on in here? See, here's what the Bible is saying. Again, it's very simple. And yet so few of us are actually doing this. Above all, number one priority, more important than anything else, the biggest rock in the jar so you can get it in first. Guard your heart, guard the insides, for who you are on the inside will always show on the outside. So now how do we apply this? If it's that simple and profoundly that life-changing, I want to spend some time applying this. And again, I think fairly simple, but I hope in its simplicity, something that every person that is here that claims the name of Jesus will seek to apply to their lives so that the outside changes, so that we're not conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, by guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, or as Paul would say, is taking captive every thought, the inner thoughts, and making them obedient to Jesus. So how do we apply this? First, we need to know God's priority for our lives. We need to believe this is actually His priority. And so when he says above all, he means above all. And again, so often this can be squished out by other things that are important. Please don't hear this wrong. Yes, root out sin, but this passage is saying more than that. It's like Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. It's saying not only the sin that entangles, but it's everything else that is good that crowds out the great or the most important. There's a lighthouse along a bleak coast that was tended by a keeper, and he was given oil to make sure that he could keep the lighthouse burning bright. And he's always given a little extra. And so one day a woman asked for oil because she had run out. She was a single mom and her children needed to be kept warm. And so the lighthouse keeper gave her a little bit of oil. And then a friend of his who was a farmer came and he said, my son's in university and he needs some oil for his lamp to study. And if he doesn't study, our future will be bleak. And so the lighthouse keeper gave him some oil for the lamp and then still another, some for an engine. All seemingly worthy requests, all seemingly important. And then near the end of the month, the tank for the lighthouse ran dry. And that night, the one night, the beacon was dark on the lighthouse and three ships crashed on the rocks. More than 100 lives were lost. And they did an investigation on this and the man defended himself and he said, well, what I had done was important and here is the answer that they gave. You were given one task alone. It was to keep the light burning. Everything else was secondary. There is no defense. Okay, so this morning, just so we're really clear, Proverbs 4:23 gives us one task only, and everything else is secondary. Do you hear it? Do you hear the word this morning? Because before we can apply it, we got to actually believe what it says. Do you hear it? Give me a yes, please. Let me know you're still... Okay, it's clear. Boy, you almost sounded Pentecostal there. All right, secondly... Know that real change is heart change. In other words, if you're just trying to change your behavior, and if you're sinning, change your behavior. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying you shouldn't discipline sin out of your life. That is not what I'm saying. But what the Bible is saying is real change is heart change. It's not enough to change your habits because the heart is what God is after. And the overflow of the heart will always be sin, even if it's a more culturally acceptable sin. And so what we're after in terms of real change is heart change. Choices that impact our hearts that then overflow and impact our behavior, our emotions, our entire lives. And so yes, if you have sin in your life, discipline it out. If you struggle with gossip, make choices that don't allow you around other people that would gossip with you. If you struggle with slander, remove the people that you're slandering to from your life. Absolutely. But don't stop there. If you're struggling with lust, don't go to the places you struggle with lust. If your computer is an issue, throw it out. But don't stop there. Because the heart is what God wants, and if you just discipline sin out, if that's all you do, and you must do that, Jesus is clear, but if that's all you do, the overflow of your heart, the sin that is there will show up somewhere else. All true change, all godly change, all God-honoring change is heart change. Know that real change is heart change. Thirdly, what are some practical things we can do this? If this is so important to God, so therefore it's so important to this church, and it's so clear in His Word. What do I need to do to do this? And brothers and sisters, I hope every single person that is here that names the name of Jesus, that claims to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is asking this question. What do I need to change? What do I need to do to guard my heart? Because if God has it, is this kind of passionate priority and it's the only way for lasting change, then I want this. I need to have it. I need to do this. It's a must today. I need to start today. First, pray for a united heart. Pray. One of the great things about what the Word of God teaches is that He gives a new heart to His people. Pray every day. This is one of my passionate prayers. I have a big U in my little devotional journal that I have, and it just means unite my heart to fear you. It comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 86:11. Unite my heart to fear you, not to worthless gain. Give me this undivided heart for you. James 1, so clear. You ask, but you do not get. You do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, and you have this divided heart. And so you're going to God, and you're saying, God, I long for this. I long for this loyalty to you that supersedes everyone and everything else. God, give me this undivided heart. Give me this heart that is so loyal to you that everything else is secondary. I want a heart that is so passionate about you that everything else is superseded. Give me this heart. Please, God, give me this heart. And by the way, the heart that you will have is always an overflow of the gospel. And so I want to say in this prayer for United Heart, always do it in the context of the gospel. Always do it in the context of knowing who God is. God is absolutely holy. We sang that this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then I look at my own life and I see how unholy I am. And I look at His holiness and I'm in despair and I cry out with Isaiah, woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a church of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the Lord, and my eyes have seen myself, and I don't measure up, and I can't measure up. I love Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love in this. While we were still... Isn't that amazing? Isn't that worth devoting your heart to? Christ died for us. He paid the penalty on the cross. He died in my place. And in faith, I place my faith in Him. And my sin is placed upon Him. And His righteousness is placed upon me. And I can approach the holy God of the Bible with boldness and joy and a new heart. Isn't that amazing? So we pray that we would understand that. We pray that our hearts would be unified there. We pray that that understanding and grasp and experience of the gospel would impact everything else. This morning, we're going to have the joy of witnessing a baptism. It's probably one of the greatest privileges that we get to be a part of as a congregation. And God gave it to the local church so that we could be a part of what He is doing in the lives of His people. And in baptism, here's the display. Lord Jesus, I've died with you. This is Romans 6. I've died with you, my sins upon the cross. And when they come out of the water, I'm alive in you. Lord Jesus, my life is yours. It's devoted to you. In you, perfection, and now devoted to you, pursuit of holiness. And that display, that symbol done in relationship by those who are being baptized this morning should not only cause us to rejoice with them in their salvation and their commitment, but also to remind us this is worth devoting our entire lives to, our entire hearts to. So we pray, God, would you unite our hearts to fear you? Those who are being baptized can now go and get changed and get ready. And we'll have the privilege of witnessing that in a few minutes. Secondly, so we understand the priority, and so we pray to God for a united heart in the context of the gospel. Secondly, we cultivate a broken and contrite heart. What does this mean? Again, it's a gospel process. Listen to Isaiah 66, verse 2. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one whom I esteem. I will look. This is one I will notice. He was humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I want to be someone God looks to and says, I esteem that man. That's a man that I look at and I rejoice in. I esteem. Can you imagine God saying that about you? And here it is. He is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I want to be this kind of man, this kind of heart from the inside. Never an entitled mentality. Always a servant heart. Always saying, I deserve wrath from God. He has given me grace. Now as an overflow of that grace, my life is His. Now please hear this clearly. A broken and contrite heart is never a heart that wallows in self-pity. Remember the song I taught you a few months ago? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I won't sing it to you this week because we lost some people the last time I did that. But nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go to the garden and eat another worm. Poor, pitiful me. That's not a broken and contrite heart. Well, it is, but it's an unbiblical one. A broken and contrite heart biblically says, you are everything and I am nothing. And in you now, I am so much more than I ever could have been on my own. It gets up and it serves with joy, knowing that we deserve wrath, knowing we've received love, and now everything is His. His love constrains us. Work to cultivate a broken and contrite heart. How do you do that? Well, it goes back to this prayer. You pray, God, unite my heart to fear you. God, help me to experience the gospel in reality, not just in words. Help me to understand your holiness and my sin, and help me to live in light of both of those things. Very practical. Don't think of those two things as impractical. We're going to get now what we usually say is very practical. We're going to talk about not polluting our hearts. That's the third stop we're going to make. Before we make that start, understand those two first things are extremely practical and will change your life if you do them. Pray that prayer. God, unite my heart to fear you. Get overwhelmed with the gospel and in brokenness and with a contrite heart. Come to him and just say, there's no entitlement in me at all. My life is yours. Now we make some choices. I just call this don't pollute your heart. Don't feed your heart junk. Simply put, be very careful what you allow into your heart through your eyes and through your ears. What you listen to and what you see matters. Now, this pollution, we're not just talking about sexual purity, although we're definitely talking about that as well. We're just talking about things that would cause you to be self-centered and not God-centered. Don't allow into your life things that will cause you to think like the world rather than to think like Jesus wants you to think. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't follow the pattern of the world. Don't think like the world, but think biblically in a God-honoring way. Don't allow things into your life that cause you to long for things that aren't God-glorifying. Oh, that we would hear this. Now, I hope most of us understand this, and so the great wicked sins we battle and we fight to get out of our lives or we protect ourselves from, absolutely, but this is so much more. This saying, notice what's going on in your heart, notice what's going on in your life. I remember driving by someone, I'll just share a little bit of my heart, driving by someone, and there was kind of a mockery in me as I drove by. This was 7, 8, 9 years ago, and they looked kind of funny to me. And I didn't say anything. But as I went by, I turned to Laura and I said, Laura, there's something wrong going on in my heart because instead of seeing that person as Jesus sees them, I laughed inside. See, it's everything as you go by. And then it was just this confession. And God, help me to see with your eyes. Help me, 2 Corinthians 5, to see everybody as you see them and to love in that kind of way. You see, it's not just the horrific stuff that all of us would agree is horrible, but it's the stuff that sometimes we even approve in the church, saying, God, I don't want any pollution in here, in the inside. I'm going to watch what I see, I'm going to watch what I hear, and then I'm going to see what I display because of where my heart is at, and then I'm going to work hard to make sure that that goes away. So I'm going to choose to discipline my life so that what I feed inside will bring glory to God. I love Psalm 101 verse 3. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Again, please don't just hear the gross sins, although hear that. But hear anything that would cause you not to be God-centered, that would cause you to be bitter or unforgiving or... And there's so many things that go on. The world is trying to conform you into its image. We are in a spiritual battle, and we need to choose God's way for God's glory, and it begins in the heart. Fourthly, that was the negative. Don't pollute your heart. Here's the positive. Feed your heart. Feed your heart God's word. Feed your heart God's way of thinking. Interact with other people who will help you see where you are blind. I love Hebrews 3 on this. Where it talks about, listen, don't be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. It's this double negative. Don't let sin creep in, those who think you're following Jesus, but get around others who can encourage you and help you see what's going on in your life. Get around others who can help you be straight. But feed your mind with the word of God. Meditate on it. That just is mull over it in context. Master it, or better than that, let it master you. Memorize it. Use it as a weapon, a sword. in the battle for the heart. So there's positive and negative in this. Listen to sermons and talk about them after. Go home with those you have come with and say, listen, what did you hear from Proverbs 4:23? And if you came and just fell asleep, then just read the text. In fact, if the person sitting next to you is sleeping now, give them a nudge. Give the person a nudge anyway. Just say, okay, listen now really carefully. Now's the time. No, I mean it. Do it. Nudge them. Listen carefully. Read Proverbs 4:23. No, I didn't say hit. I just said nudge. When brothers sit together, trouble, I tell you. Listen, this is so important. Go home, read the text, and then talk about how to apply it. Talk about how it's going to change your life. Talk about what this means. Chew on it when you're on your way to work, or when you're changing the diapers of your children, or you're on the way to school, or you're hanging out with your friends. Don't let it out of your sight. Remember how we led into this text, the context? It's your life. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. It's everything. It's good for you. It's what God wants. It's so important. Let that overwhelm your heart. So then the overflow of your heart is something that always and ever glorifies the King. You want to get really simple? Life-changingly simple? Above all else, guard your heart. For from it flows the springs of life. Where's your life? Change the sin. Repent of the sin. Become God-centered and Word-saturated. But even more important than changing your sin, and I'm not downplaying that, get it out, root it out, gouge out your eye, cut off your arm, break your leg, whatever it takes. But even more important than that is to guard our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we long to have your Spirit apply it to our lives. And so this morning, we beg you to have worked in such a way that those who are here will have heard from your Spirit, from your word, and be transformed. God, in this place, there are those who are going hard after you. Would you strengthen them and give them new tools this morning to be who you want them to be as an overflow of hearts fully devoted to you. There are those here that are struggling, even living in sin. Father, would you bring conviction and would they change, but not only on the outside, on the inside? And there are those here that don't know you. And I pray this morning through the power of your word, the power of your gospel, they would turn to you, the author of their salvation. Oh, that you would help us, for this is so important. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.